Welcome to Patient Advocacy Voices. I'm your host, Eric Racine, U.S. Head of Public Affairs and Patient Advocacy at Sanofi. The purpose of this podcast is to get to know the unsung heroes from patient advocacy groups. These are people who work tirelessly for the well-being of patients and their families. Together, we will uncover powerful stories from advocacy thought leaders and learn how they help patients overcome barriers to access and care. In order to have an impact, we all need resources. To secure these resources, we must demonstrate and communicate our impact. Today, we're joined by Aisha Diallo, Senior Director of Programs at the Patient Empowerment Network, to delve into this very important subject with which many of us struggle. I was truly impressed by Aisha's ability to convey the impact of her advocacy group when I first met Aisha a few years ago. My co-host for this episode is Elizabeth Franklin. Elizabeth is the head of U.S. Oncology Public Affairs and Patient Advocacy at Sanofi. Hello, Elizabeth.
Eric, thank you so much for having me on today. I'm thrilled to be your co-host for this episode with Aisha. Aisha is an incredible patient advocate and public health professional. And as you mentioned, she does a beautiful job of communicating the Patient Empowerment Network's impact. And when I say impact, I mean that in the truest sense of the word, not just output or even outcomes, but true impact. How PEN's work makes a tangible difference in the lives of patients every day. And we're excited to delve deeply into that concept. So Aisha, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Elizabeth. Hello, Eric. Thank you so much for having me.
Aisha, what is the mission of Patient Empowerment Network and why are you passionate about the work being done?
Patient Empowerment Network is an international nonprofit organization that offers trusted information to empower anyone impacted by cancer through health equity, health literacy, and shared decision making. Our programs target patients, survivors, care partners, healthcare professionals, and really make it so that it is easy for them to be walked through every step of their journey. What is very important to me, and one of the main reasons why I joined Patient Empowerment Network, is how our programs are tailored to the needs and wants of the audience we serve. We meet them exactly where they are and provide programming that are evidence-based, they're concise, they're easy to understand, and provided in multiple languages.
We talk a lot about implementing advocacy program, but the area that is often not discussed as much for some group is the evaluation component. It is daunting for some advocacy group to do that. Tell us a little bit more about how you go about it in your advocacy group.
I think what's important is to make sure that you think about what you're trying to capture before you put together a program. You want to know what impact you are aiming for. That will determine the questions you will be asking throughout your program. You want to make sure that you do your needs assessment before you start implementing your programs or initiatives. You want to gather the voices of your audience. And in order to do that, you have to get to know your audience and know who you serve. You want to do a pre and post test for all of your programs. You also want to attach your short-term, long-term outcome measures. And you can do that through surveys. That information will not only allow you to determine how your programs are performing shortly after you have completed them, but also weeks and months after you have completed your program, just to know where your audience is and how they feel about the information you've been able to provide to them. So giving that information, you want to take this a step further. You want to be able to put together some outcome reports you will also share with your funders. You want your funders to know where their money went, how well the program performed, and how many people you were able to reach. So one of the things that we do here at Patient Empowerment Network is after every program, we put together an outcome report that we share with our funders. And we don't just stop there. Twice a year, mid-year or year-end, whenever we know that we will be attending a conference where we will be meeting our funders face-to-face, we bring in that hard copy outcome report. It may sound long and overwhelming, but not at all. You want to make sure that it is simple, that it is digestible, that it includes all of the information you will need your funders to know. This will really help you in terms of sustaining and maintaining funding year over year. You want that information to obviously include the name of your program, the date, the speakers that you involved in the program, the topics. You want them to know how many people you reached, how long was your program. If your program is a webinar or if you have other deliverables attached to the program, you want to include that information there. You've conducted a survey. Earlier, I talked about your pre and post test. You want to include that information there. You want your funders to know the survey outcomes. What did your audience say about the programs? Share some quotes. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. Make sure you include any other information you think will be incredibly important for them to take a look at. And that could answer all the questions they may have throughout the process. If you're not able to come in with this information face-to-face, make sure you send it to them electronically. This will really help you move the needle on improving your programs, but also maintaining the funding that is coming your way year over year.
Evaluation and measurement and communicating that impact may not be the sexiest part of the work that we do, but it's arguably the most important because it's what keeps you running. It's what allows you to be able to continue to serve patients. What strikes me about everything you do is the intentional question of what's in it for them, right? Whether you are talking to patients and in the community, what is in it for them? What can Penn do to bring what they need?
I think a lot of the times we're very busy working with the communities we work with, and quite often we don't always know who we're serving, which can make capturing the impact very difficult. And that's why I always encourage everyone, including my entire team, to make sure that we continuously get to know who we're serving, because that's really step one. Once you build a relationship with them, you get to know the gatekeepers of those communities, you establish trust, you work with them, and you want to include their voice, but you also want to be able to share the information that you were able to capture. And with their help, you will see that obtaining this information goes hand in hand and it's mutual. Sometimes people like to think of that evaluation piece as the last piece. It's actually the first piece. Right? Although we say program planning, implementation, and evaluation, but you always want to think about the evaluation piece before and work your way backwards. So if you don't know what you're trying to capture, then you can be in trouble. So you really want to make sure that throughout the process from the very beginning, you are putting together a pre and post test. Prior to the pre and post test, you want to do a very brief, concise survey to your audience. What information would they like to hear? What are their needs? What are the topics that they feel haven't been addressed so far?
I love that you said that evaluation is actually the first step, because if you're not thinking about the things they care about, then why are they going to participate in the program in the first place?
Exactly.
You have a public health background, which lends itself so well to this topic. But we know a lot of colleagues who don't have a public health background and maybe don't have sort of a statistical mind or the ability to understand evaluation and p-values and things like that. So for somebody who's coming at this for the first time, what would you suggest?
It's interesting because I've actually had so many other members of advocacy groups ask me that exact question. Of course, it's important to come in with that public health background, that knowledge, but we know that a lot of the times individuals who are working directly in communities are learning as they go. And that's perfectly fine. What you have is that connection to your audience. Capture what they're saying. Use quotes. Use their voice. Make sure you communicate with them frequently. Capture that information along the way. Have something as simple as a one-pager. Include the name of the program, date, the topics that were involved in this, what the community said about your program. Talk to them about where the program took place. If it took place in their community, include that in there. Tell them how many people you were able to reach, including them or outside of them. Provide all the information you think, if you were on that receiving end, that you would also want to know. So I think that that creates a very good platform for them to trust you and for your funders to also trust that you will be delivering the programs you said you will be delivering. And I think that's just very, very important to make things very simple and straight to the point.
About just getting started, not aiming for perfection, at least measure something, get involved with the community. Is it your guidance?
I would say it is. You are not always going to get it right the first time. And even with my public health background and the experience I've had, sometimes you don't really know what you're walking into. And it's okay to not know. It's okay to ask questions along the way. Sometimes you walk into a community, and because you take that step back and you're humble about what you're about to hear, your whole project could be completely shifted, because now you're finding out that what you came with as your priority is no longer your priority.
Impact, Aisha, right? We've used that word a lot, impact. And that's ultimately what's important, because it's the impact you're having on the lives of people to improve their lives. But how is impact different from output and outcomes? Can you talk about those three words?
Sure, absolutely. So outputs are the activities you do. So all these programs, all the initiatives that you do, those are outputs. Outcomes are the results from the activities you do. So the results from your programs or initiatives. Impact, think of it as that broader, longer term effects of those results. Earlier when I talked about in 6 months or a year, even a month or so after you have done your programs, when you come in with the impact, the information that you're sharing with your funders or with your community, think of that as your impact, your long-term, broader effect of what you were able to capture.
So Aisha, if you were to teach a masterclass on delivering high-impact advocacy, what is the most important takeaway would you want the class to remember?
I love this question so much, Eric, because I used to teach. So this is something that is always important to communicate to the class. You want to make sure that, number one, that they really get to know the audience that they're serving. You want them to listen to them. Always put your patients, families at the center of everything you do. Include their voice at 100% throughout the entire process. Capture your impact throughout the way, throughout the time, and you will realize that at the end, you will come up with that broader effect. You want to build trust. That's really important, because without trust, you're not able to put a successful program together. You're not able to communicate your outcomes either. Make sure you partner with other organizations that are underground, that are either already doing the work or who are very close to the community you're trying to reach. And really build that strong relationship. I would say strong and lasting relationship with them. You want the communication to be clear. You want them to understand your timelines and time frames and where you are with the project and where you're going with the project. And you want to share that information with them even when you are done. And you want that collaboration to be mutual, right? That goes right back to what we were talking about. What's in it for you? What's in it for them? And really make sure that both parties feel supported throughout the way.
We talk about couple trends in evaluating programs. One that you mentioned is the importance of involving the community and the stakeholder in the evaluation process. Well covered. Another trend is really the advance in technology, the advance in data analytics, and that could transform how we collect data, how we evaluate programs and make them more impactful for patients. What is your experience using these new kind of data and technology?
Yeah, so we use this incredible platform to collect the data that we are capturing as we are putting together our programs. And this information is pretty much stored there. So whenever we're getting ready to pull these amazing reports, we could just go in and just pull the information we're looking for and get it right at our fingertips. It's really important to utilize tools that will help you obtain and piece together the information that you're looking for. It's great to have if you're starting and you don't have the ability to have a platform or use AI to do data analysis. Of course, the first thing we think about is how can I put this together on a spreadsheet and how can I organize it, which is usually where we all start. And then we work our way to having something a little bit more robust where you minimize the amount of errors that can occur as you are pulling that information.
And similar to my question about if you don't have a public health background, how do you start this? I think that this conversation with AI is similar because it's such a new technology, especially generative AI. And if people feel intimidated by using this, you know, what would your suggestion be, Aisha, to kind of dive into these new technologies and harness them to help with the work that you're doing?
So what I will say here is at this very moment, we are all learning how to efficiently use AI tools to give us the information we're looking for. But I will also encourage you not to feel intimidated by it. Go in, get your hands dirty, ask your tool the questions you need, plug in the information you need. You may not get it right the first time, maybe not the second time, but keep going because once you get a good hang of it, you will be more comfortable and you will see that as you're collecting data, as you're analyzing and evaluating the data that you have, that you're really able to obtain the information you want.
That's good advice for evaluation and measurement overall. Jump in, start somewhere, work with the community to determine what's important to them, and then grow it from there.
Exactly. I agree.
Measuring the impact of the work is critical. We want to make sure that the program we do actually move the needle for patients, but also more importantly, to learn and to make adjustments. You discuss about the importance of communicating the impact to the appropriate stakeholder, the community that you're working with, and you do it in partnership with them, the other partners, the funders. And also, we are not all public health experts. We're not all generative AI expert and data analytics expert, but we need to start somewhere. Get started. Don't try to aim for perfection. Evolve and your measurement and your impact will get better as you go.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that we had Aisha to join us because, again, she just does a really beautiful job of breaking down these complex data points that can be intimidating, but showing that learning from the community, organizing and implementing what the community says into the work that you're doing and really having that full circle moment where evaluation is not the end, it is actually the beginning. And then you start the process over again to create that learning cycle. So Aisha, thank you so much. You and Penn are such incredible patient advocates and we're so fortunate to learn from you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure being here and sharing this information with other advocacy groups.
Thank you so much, Aisha and Elizabeth, for being with us today. Stay tuned as we continue to bring you inspiring stories of courage, determination, and the transformative power of patient advocacy. And don't forget to subscribe to Patient Advocacy Voices to make sure you don't miss the next episode.